You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, it's Marquis Laughlin, and you're listening to another podcast episode of Bible Prophecy Daily. I'm your host for this episode. We are running through Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we're doing what I call the Director's Commentary series. So I'm trying to cover approximately a chapter of it per podcast episode. We're coming up on a few key chapters. We're looking this week at chapter 16, which are really the bowls of God's wrath, pretty powerful. And then the next episode will be on Revelation chapter 17. That's Babylon the Great. We're going to do a few episodes on her because of the vast amount of biblical commentary that describe this entity, place. There are so many dimensions to it. Just hard to get to all the information of all of the places on the earth that are mentioned in Scripture. Only Jerusalem is mentioned more than Babylon. So we're going to get into her locality, her role throughout the ages. And remember, we're talking Mystery Babylon the Great. So it's a mystery that is being unveiled, and we are still pondering what the mystery is. So by no means do we have a grip on it. Every explanation I have encountered thus far, at best, gets a partial understanding of this phenomenon that is all over Scripture. There's so many things about written about Babylon in Scripture, and so much of it has to be taken into account. You've got the daughter of Babylon, you've got Babylon, you've got Babel, you've got Babylon the Great, the Great Babylon, the city. So you've got a lot of phrases there that are connected to the woman who is riding the beast and her influence and effect on the world. But what I want to remind people is before we get into her on the next episode, we're going to talk about God's wrath, the bowls of God's wrath being poured out. And of course, the timing of the bowls of God's wrath being poured out and Babylon the Great coming into existence and being in prime time, he gives her the cup filled with his wrath. So she definitely gets the wrath of God poured out on her in addition to what she gets from the beast and the ten horns that take control over her, shake her power off of them. So just a lot of good stuff. Anyway, we're going to get into, I want to start with chapter 16 on this podcast and really try to go give you the context of it, and then we're going to read through it and I'll make some commentary. Basically, chapter 16 in Revelation it describes the bowls of God's wrath being poured out. Now, what has just happened, as we saw in chapter 15, is we've seen a scene in heaven with people who have been redeemed. They're dressed in white. They've been victorious over the mark of the beast in his image and over the number of his names. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. It's a song of victory, if you remember the song of Moses, back in Exodus. And so basically God has taken care of the enemy. He has come and rescued us from our enemy. And they're singing that song because they have literally been rescued from the wrath of their enemy, which is the Antichrist, the foreshadow of that, obviously Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. So that is what has happened. That's what we have just seen. And then John goes on to describe in chapter 16, the bowls of God's wrath. He sees this scene in heaven. Remember, they sing the song. These are redeemed people, most believe the church, they're dressed in white robes, the persecuted church, at least the believers who were persecuted under the Antichrist reign. The mark of the beast had been instituted. Just to give you a context, the mark of the beast has been instituted, the false prophet's been doing his thing, and these people have been dying because they of their faithful belief and testimony in Christ, and we see them in heaven being victorious and really introducing the final amount of God's wrath to be poured out on the earth. So they are there, and we are getting, now we're going to see the final wrath of God. And the other context for this is that we have also been told that that these are going to be, with these bowls, God's wrath is completed. And I'll get into that a little bit later. I believe that that is one of the comments I'll have when we read the chapter, which I'll read right now. Okay, Revelation chapter 16, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.' So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image." So you see right there, the context is the mark of the beast, the worship of his image, the persecution of the saints and those who put their trust in Jesus. That's the context. So we know it's in the latter half of Daniel's 70th week, what's commonly referred to as the Great Tribulation. So that's our context. And it's got to be towards the end, very close towards the end. Some people have it in that 30-day period that Daniel talks about. Blessed are those who wait for and see the 1290 days, or you know what I mean? He gives you three different time sets in there, and one is 1260, one's 1290, the other one's 1320 or 13 something. I'd have to look it up. But that's what many people think, that that the bowls are going to be poured out at the end of Daniel's 70th week, right at the end. And I tend to lean towards that view for a number of reasons, because of the players here, their association, the state that they're in, and the state that the world's in. And this really does complete the reign of the Antichrist. He is completely defeated. So that would make sense that Jesus has already come and fought the armies of the earth. Armageddon has taken place. Jesus is taking full control of the earth. And this, remember, these bowls are unlike anything the world has ever seen. They decimate the whole earth. This is complete destruction. Everything before that was partial destruction, but this is the complete total change or destruction of the world we know, so that it has to be built up and renewed from the ground up, literally. So I'll go on I'll go to verse 2 here. "So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl onto the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing in the sea died." Now that's very similar to the trumpet judgments, where a third of the sea turns to blood and kills a lot of stuff. So the third angel poured out his bowl onto the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Again, another replicant, as we'll say, judgment. Instead of a third of the waters turning bitter or turning bad, now we have all of the waters turning into blood. So this plague is on the earth, but it's complete. And then John says in verse 4, "And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say," so we know there's an angel that's in charge of the waters. That's pretty interesting, because water, the destruction of it, the movement of it, is so biblical in history. I mean, throughout the Bible, the Bible's history, all of the places in Scripture where God uses water to move things, pretty fascinating that we have an angel in charge of the waters. And he says, what does he say? He says, Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Now I love this because you have the angel who is in charge of the waters, doing good, told to pour these, that these judgments are coming upon the waters. And what does he say? He says God is just because they gave your servants blood. They basically shed the blood of your servants, which we saw were the ones dressed in white robes, rejoicing, singing the song of Moses in heaven. Remember, these servants were martyrs, the souls we saw of them, the martyrs that were in chapter 5 of Revelation, as the seals were being opened. This is the same group of people. These are believers, God's servants, who the book of Revelation was written to, who are going to be martyred at the fifth seal, obviously by the Antichrist, or by Babylon the Great. That system is going to martyr her. So you have these people, these great, great group of believers who are martyred and persecuted during this time frame. And the angel says, great, you are just. And he's answering the call of those servants that call out to him from the altar. The souls of the servants are saying, how long, O Lord, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? This is the angel answering them, yes, God is just. See, he's avenging the blood of his servants. And I love this, is he says, and I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. That's a reference, direct reference back to the altar where the souls of those who have been slain were pleading for justice. So I love that Revelation has this tie-in. You're seeing this picture. It's like a movie, and you see the foreshadow. Somebody says this, and you wonder, and you don't get the answer. And then the movie goes on, and finally you get the answer. Obviously, it's Jesus does what he said he would do by rescuing his servant. He told them to remember, wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. That's what he told the souls of those martyrs who are crying out to him under the altar in chapter 5. And now we hear the answer. This is what they were waiting for. Pretty cool, huh? So on verse 8, chapter 16, he goes on to say, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. Can you imagine that? Brutal. They were scared. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues, but they did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. Now this tells us his kingdom is still existing up to this point. So you have to, his kingdom, is he still reigning? It says his kingdom, so maybe we have somewhere very close to the end of the 70th week. So very interesting, interesting line. We have to reconcile that with that. So it says, people nod their tongues in anguish and curse the God of heaven for their pain and sores, but they did not repent of their deeds. So sad. They obviously know it's God. They're mad at him. And they still don't repent, even though they know it's him, and he's totally in control. And he obviously, the beast is not in control. So it's just so sad. But that's the state of our rebellion. That's the depth of our sin. Verse 12 goes on to say, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Perhaps the angel who has charge of the waters is doing this. Interesting. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Pretty heavy. So these evil spirits are coming out to deceive the world, to gather all of the nation's armies together to battle at, well, we think perhaps Armageddon. That's what this place is called. So this battle is occurring. All of this, these bowls are occurring, being poured out just prior to the end of Daniel's 70th week. So, you know, you look at these clues, I tell you what, there are, the clues are always in the text. And so many clues will rule out certain timing. And you, if you don't reconcile that, you may think it's later or earlier, but if, when you have several scriptures that are pointing to specific timing, it's very hard to overlook that and assume it's a different time. So, yeah, like I say, my best guess based on the scripture is that this is at the very end of Daniel's 70th week, the very end of the Antichrist reign. All of these are very fast plagues. They come one after another. There's not a 5 month long judgment or something. These are quick, powerful, terrible things that happen, and they all happen in succession in rapid fire. So that's what you have. You have the seventh angel pouring out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." I love that. It is done. So they are, I skipped actually verse 15. Let me go back and do that. Now, the whole world, the kings of the whole world have been gathered to battle on the great day of God Almighty. And then on chapter 15, or verse 15, he says, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he might not go naked and be seen exposed." This is an interesting verse because it's something Jewish people would know about, because the whole idea was, if you were a priest and you were on duty, what they would do is you would have to take your clothes, much of your clothes off, to be able to go into holy places. And what priests would do sometimes they would fall asleep. They were on watch. And if you fell asleep, what they would do is they would take your clothes, from you. So you would wake up, you'd be naked, and you wouldn't have any clothes, and you have to run off in shame. Or sometimes they would light your clothes on fire, and you would, if you were asleep and you had your clothes, and you would run off and they would burn off and you'd be naked. So the idea is that you don't want to fall asleep. You want to keep your garments with you. You want to keep watching for Jesus's return so that you will not go naked and be shamefully exposed, because all of us need the clothes that Jesus has offered us and paid for by his blood, the righteous robes. We all need that. So we have to wait to make sure that we get that clothing. That's the idea. See, then it says in verse 16 of chapter 16, it says, "And they assembled them," that's all the kings of the earth and their armies, "at the place that in Hebrew was called Armageddon." So there you have it. You got the Battle of Armageddon right in the midst of the bowl judgments. Okay, now the seventh bowl, it says, "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts." I believe that's a reference to Jerusalem. It's always called the great city. "And the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great." See, that's yet another place. Babylon the Great is not the great city. It's another place. It's Babylon the Great. God remembered Babylon the Great. Obviously, there's a location associated with her, because we've just heard the first two locations that have been tremendously destroyed. And he says, "God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath." So this is a part of her punishment too. And she drains the cup. So it's already, she's been drinking from it, which is what I believe that has happened with her and the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, and her, the 10 kings warring against her and destroying her. I believe this is her total destruction. So it's draining the cup. So maybe she drank that judgment and now she gets even more. Who knows? So much information on this. Okay. Then it says, And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. Can you imagine that kind of earthquake that would result in leveling the whole earth? Well, we know all about the scriptures that tell us that the earth is going to be leveled, that God is going to make it plain. He's going to raise the valleys up and bring the mountains low. So really heavy, this is how he's going to do that. So what a completion of a prophetic passage most of us read and don't even think is prophetic. It's a psalm. He's going to make every low place and every high place the same. Pretty amazing. And then it says in verse 21, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was so severe. Ooh. Now, of all of the stuff I read in Revelation, I think initially when I memorized it 33 years ago, this was a heaviest one. I couldn't, for me to wrap my mind around a hailstone that was 100 pounds falling on people. Maybe they get hit by two or three, who knows? But it would just be like, it'd be like stepping on ants. You would just, a partial hit, you're dead. Think of, that's falling at a pretty, that's pretty heavy. That's going to hurt. Let's put it that way. That's going to do some serious destruction. You're talking major damage, and would strike major fear into people's hearts. It would be so, so terrible. You read these plagues, you go, I might be able to handle that. Oh, that's a bad one. But this one, you kind of, in a way, get why they're mad at God because of this plague is so bad. It is bad. So that is the end of God's wrath. What great news. That's the end of God's wrath. But the even better news is that there's a way to not have to experience that. And that is by receiving the grace that only God can give us through what he's done in Jesus Christ. All of the blessings we have, all of the insights of Scripture, everything that we're being shown, it's all by God's grace and his mercy. And we are here for such a time as this. So that's why we're committed to really trying to edify every one of you that are searching for information about Jesus' return, trying to share what we have discovered, what we're discovering, and looking and watching and trying to keep each other awake and you awake so that we will not go naked and be shamefully exposed. That's the name of the game. So I want you to keep watching for his return, my friend. Keep listening to this broadcast, a podcast, and keep helping and supporting it, because it's so critical that this information gets to the church at this time. We're in the midst of all of this starting to take place, and God is opening a lot of people's eyes to the reality of the scriptures that are starting to happen all around us. And he's really pouring out his spirit on the church in a way to give them insight specifically for this time and preparing us all. So we want you to be as deep as possible in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as certain as you possibly can about his coming, and be able to withstand whatever the enemy throws at you, so that you will not go naked and be shamefully exposed, so that you will endure to the end. Remember, that's what Jesus tells us, but he who endures to the end will be saved, to the end of persecution. That's what we endure to, and we are not destined for God's wrath. As you saw, the saints, they're right in chapter 15, they're singing a song of victory. But not so much with the earth dwellers. So great place to be is always on God's side. So until next time, if you have a question, feel free to email me. We had a little glitch in our site. We were down for a little bit. We're having some technical difficulties, but the email is now functionable. If you tried that earlier and it was off for about a week, they were going back and forth on it, but now it's functional. You can email me at marquis@axeoftheword.com. Marquis, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, @axeoftheword.com. I'll try to answer your question as quickly as possible. And if I don't know it, I will let you know I don't know that. And I will try to research it enough to point you in a direction where you can get some good information on it, some biblical information. So until next time, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.